This morning is from Daniel 2, verse 22 through 45. Daniel 2, verse 22 through 35, and that's on page 817 in your Bibles. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank ye and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch. Did I say it right? Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will shew unto the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found this man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known the king to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and visions of thy head up on thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, or to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The king's image, or the image head, was of fine gold. The breast and arms were of silver. The belly and the thighs were of brass. The legs were of iron, and the feet were part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the engine upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found in them. And the stone was smote, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. We will tell you the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou art, O king, art a king of kings, for God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of man dwell, the breast of the field, the fowls of the heaven hath given unto thine the hand, and hath made thee a ruler over them all. Thou art his head of gold, and after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear the rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And the iron that breaketh all these shall it break into pieces and be bruised and bruised. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Am I on? That was really a good job, and boy, we thank the Lord for Linda. She is so faithful. Miss Brenda is just running all over the country, and she left us in good hands. I appreciate that so much. Your faithfulness. Anybody notice the humidity this morning? Around my house, it was pretty high. So was the temperature. But the Lord's good. We had an interesting time in Sunday school this morning. We normally do. Terry agitates a lot. Gets everything all stirred up. But we do learn a lot, and we're thankful for that. Talking about the tripod there in the back with a list of things, areas of service, I tell you what, we appreciate everybody that is involved in any way. In the carrying forth of the services that we have here at the church and furtherance of the Word of God in the community, and I appreciate that so much. It means a lot as I look around and I see different people, the roles they play. My heartfelt thanks go out to you. And also this morning we prayed for in prayer time for Freddie and his treatment. He has what is called glioblastoma. It is the deadliest cancer that you can have. It returns with a vengeance. It makes its own blood, so I'm told and read. And it pretty well isolates itself and does its damage in that way. And I appreciate the prayers for Freddie, but also I would like to say be sure and pray for Carol's brother, He has the same type of cancer, and he's going through the same regimen of treatment that Freddie is, and that is radiation and chemo by the pill. That is not that's not easy to endure. So pray for both of these men. Also, there is a young pastor up in Texarkana that I am aware of a friend who has cancer. Seems like that old disease is just running rampant in the world today. So pray for these ones. This friend of a friend pastors a small church in Texarkana, and I'm sure that he would appreciate our prayers this morning. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we come to you this morning, and we are so grateful that we know your Son personally, in a personal way, one who loved us, still loves us, makes intercession for us. His death on the cross paid for our sin completely. You remove it as far as the east is from the west, for you remember it no more. Father, we thank you for that kind of love. Father, we have, through the years that we have lived, Father, the years that I have lived more so than some and not as many as others, but Father, I found you completely faithful. Father, you never, ever, ever leave us alone. You're with us forever, with us in every area of our minds and in our lives and our activities. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we ask now that you would open our ears, our eyes, and our minds that we might hear, see, and understand the things that you have for us in the book of Daniel. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our Bible reading was a little extensive this morning. I think it's very important that we take and take the opportunity every Sunday to do a little bit of reminding of where we have studied the week before. And we find in the early verses that was read this morning, we find how Daniel went to the Lord along with his three Hebrew captives there in under Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. And so he went to them and told them the predicament that they found themselves in, that they would be killed. And Nebuchadnezzar was not a forgiving man. He didn't understand weakness. He ruled by strength. And he had taken, by this time, he had taken the Jewish people into Babylon and had made servants out of some. Others he had destroyed on the battlefield. Others he destroyed there in Babylon. And so these Jewish boys, young men, of prime stock, Nebuchadnezzar saw something within their demeanor, their looks, their abilities to bring them into this area where they would be trained to be his consultants and advisors. And we find that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed a dream. And the dream was of a statue, a foreboding statue. I'm sure Word of God doesn't say this exactly, but it was an angry looking statue because Nebuchadnezzar was an angry man. He was angry because of where he found himself here having this dream, that nobody could tell him the dream, nor could anybody tell him the meaning of this dream that he had. And so Daniel went to Nebuchadnezzar's, I would say, right-hand man, but Nebuchadnezzar had several of those, but went to this fellow by the name of Arioch. And Daniel said, "Listen, don't kill all of the captives. the wise men, the magicians, these prisoners that he's taken captive, don't kill all of them, because I have a God that can tell you the meaning, tell the king the meaning of the dream, even tell him what the dream was. So Arioch went to the king and got permission for Daniel to have a little extra time. But there was a statue in King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, a foreboding one, one that was probably not surprising to King Nebuchadnezzar, because I believe that King Nebuchadnezzar had in the gardens surrounding his palace, he had many statues, many angry-looking statues. That's my personal opinion. God's Word doesn't say that, but that's my personal opinion. And let me say this, too, while I chastise myself a little bit. Don't try to second-guess the Word of God. There's a dear friend of mine who is now with the Lord. His favorite saying, or one of his favorite sayings, was this: God said it, I believe it. I don't have to understand it all, how it happened, how it came about, but God said it, and I believe it. We, as God's children, should take the example of our raising our own flesh and blood children. We should take that to heart, because in dealing with our own flesh and blood children, and especially, I remember growing up, my mom and dad, they would many times tell us something, and there would be, out of the mouths of one of the five kids they raised, some kind of need for explanation, further explanation. And my dad would say, either son, or he called my sister sweetheart, son or sweetheart, because I said it. You do it. Here in the Word of God, I think that kind of mindset would do us much good. Rather than trying to figure out how God accomplished what he said he did, we ought to take what he did at face value and believe it. And here Daniel speaks to the king after Arioch brought Daniel to the king, after Arioch took credit for Daniel being there before the king. He said, I have found a man. Well, listen, God found the man. God knew where the man was, Daniel. God knew where his three Hebrew friends and fellow captives were. God knew exactly where they were at. But Arioch brought Daniel in before the king. He said, I found a man that can tell you about this dream that you had. They didn't even know that it was a fearsome dream. All Nebuchadnezzar knew was that it troubled him, because God's Word uses the word plural as far as his dream. He said he dreamed dreams. So I'm sure this dream of this statue that Daniel was about to explain to him what the dream was and what the dream meant, I'm sure that Nebuchadnezzar was anxiously awaiting. He had dreamed this dream about the same statue. The Word of God said he dreamed dreams. The king said to Daniel, he said, are you able to make known to me the dream? Daniel, without hesitation, answered the king in his presence. And he said, the secret which the king hath demanded, can't the wise men that you already have here, can't the astrologers, can't the magicians, can't the soothsayers, all of these educated men from various parts of the world that Nebuchadnezzar had dominated and won battles against and brought them into Babylon. Can't they answer your dream? Daniel was the first time in studying this weeks ago. It sort of appeared to me that Daniel was being a little bit cocky. But that's not the case. As I have looked at it time and time again over the weeks, I find that Daniel was setting up his response to the king as to where his knowledge came from. But Daniel said, can't these guys tell you, show unto the king? Daniel goes on to say, but there is a God, capital G-O-D, in heaven, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he begins to share with King Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was that he had. We're getting into what the dream meant a little later. But he goes on to say, the God of heaven, he told me, he showed me. Daniel gives glory to his heavenly Father, to God himself. Where the glory belongs, that's where it belonged then. Friends, that's where it belongs today. All glory and all honor because of God's goodness goes to him. Undeserving as we are, sinful as we are, and I said present tense, are, we still, as God's children, do not have lives that are honoring and glorifying to God day in and day out, every moment, every second, every hour of the day. The glory belongs to God. But he goes on and he answers King Nebuchadnezzar. As for these, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he, God, that revealeth secrets, maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. I'm sure by this time Nebuchadnezzar was sort of sitting on the edge of his seat, throne. I wouldn't be surprised if Nebuchadnezzar had his guards there ready to remove Daniel's head from off his shoulders. Because Daniel's job was to tell the king what his dream was. God gets the glory when our lives are honoring and glorifying to him. I've seen many Christian people through the years, those who claim to be Christian, believers, seen many of them, talked with many of them, worked with some, but they were more interested and proud of not what God had done in their lives, not how God had blessed them with earthly possessions, but what they had accumulated on their own. In their works, in their smart investing, they patted themselves on the back. Daniel was not that way. Daniel said, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Whose sakes was he talking about? Their sakes, but for their sakes. These were the wise men. These were the astrologers. These were the magicians, the soothsayers, the Jewish friends that Daniel was incarcerated with. For their sakes, Daniel said, I'm doing it for their sakes. But as for me, this secret's not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. King Nebuchadnezzar, that was his goal, to find out what his dream was. Now Daniel is about to reveal that. But thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. I can just imagine King Nebuchadnezzar sitting there thinking about the times that he had laid on his bed, and this great image was revealed to him in his dream. How terrible that it was in looks, in noise. This image's head was one of fine gold, Daniel said. His breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass. Nebuchadnezzar was familiar with the building components of statues. This is probably a little bit different. This one was made of fine gold, silver, and brass. Oh, yeah. His legs, Daniel said, of iron. His feet, part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest, till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, the silver, the gold, they were all broken to pieces together. They came like the chaff, summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. No place was found for them. And the stone smote the image, became a great mountain, filled the whole earth. This is the dream, Daniel said. We will tell the interpretation, therefore, before the king. Nebuchadnezzar was probably sitting on the edge of his throne, anxiously awaiting what Daniel was about to share with him. The thoughts that ran through his mind, the questions that he had needing answers to. Thou, O king, art king of kings, Daniel said. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. Daniel, once again, is giving glory to God. You notice here, Daniel didn't say because of your military might, because of your great wisdom, how you've planned your battles, how you've encompassed cities and taken the inhabitants thereof captive. None of that. Daniel said, puts the glory and the honor where it belongs. Thou, O king, art king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. Four things that he lists here were gifts, if you would, to Nebuchadnezzar from God. Look with me, if you would, or sit there and I'll read them for you. Thou, O king, art king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee, a kingdom. He's given you power. He's given you strength. And He's given you glory. That pretty well covers it. He just took and threw King Nebuchadnezzar and his pride under the bus, so to speak. If there were any running around in Babylon, I doubt it. But he had just destroyed the king's, if you would, pride. Thou, O king, art king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Everything he had, everything that he valued, everything that he trusted in, his position, his prestige, his reputation, all of these things God had given, Daniel said, to King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, "Thou art a king of kings." Almost in a second breath, Daniel could have said and probably was thinking, God gave them all to you. Look at your life. And I look at mine many times. I find that as I look back over the years that I've had, I thought, well, I might have probably done things a little different if I had this life to do over again. Maybe. Maybe not. But you see, that's what Nebuchadnezzar had probably been thinking also. Maybe I would have done things a little bit different. How about you? Ever laid in bed in the middle of the night? I can draw that image up in my mind because I've spent several nights through the years in my bed at night thinking concerning life, the family, preparations for what they call the end of life things. Nebuchadnezzar probably wasn't a lot different than I am, other than he had power, might, knowledge, a kingdom, everything he could ask for physically, humanly speaking. He had all of those. But you see, he still had moments when he laid in his bed and dreamed dreams that caused him concern. Daniel revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar that there would be five ruling powers in this world before, we learn later, Christ comes back. Nebuchadnezzar reigned for some 45 years. But Daniel was right there with him. I mean, Daniel was alive throughout all of Nebuchadnezzar's reign in Babylon. This head of the statue being gold, being Nebuchadnezzar. Wheresoever, Daniel writes, children of men dwell, the beast of the field, the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thy hand. Nebuchadnezzar, you're nothing without what God has given you. You know, many times we as people, even as God's children, we lament maybe that we're not maybe where we had planned to be. Maybe we passed up an opportunity for higher education. Maybe we have passed up an opportunity for a relationship with another individual. that we, because of our stupidity, maybe missed out on. I know people like that. I thank God for the wife that He gave me. I could have not done any better, that lady that I call my wife. Could not have. But I know people who lament the fact that through their stubbornness, their stupidity, their inability to control the old human nature, they lost that special person in their life. But here, we find Daniel saying, "And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field, the fowls of heaven hath he given unto thy hand, made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee." Now Daniel does not mention what that next kingdom, at this point he does not mention as to who it is, what precious metal it's made from. He goes on to say, "And a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." You see, the gold was the rule of Babylon. The silver, which is the second one, and it revealed to us later what it's made out of, was the Medo-Persian Empire that ruled the world. The fourth kingdom, Daniel said, shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. This is the Roman Empire as revealed elsewhere in the Word of God. Daniel goes on to say, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. There shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay." That was a strange looking statue, image, feet, iron and clay. "And whereas thou sawest," Daniel goes on to say, "iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." Daniel was saying, in these days, God is going to set up His kingdom here on this earth. And he says, "Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms," the previous kingdoms, "and it shall stand forever." Folks, this morning, I'm convinced, as we will see in the later chapters, I'm convinced that we are living during this time of this, represented by this statue, feet made of iron and of clay. We'll be covering that in the next few weeks. But we have something to look forward to. God's kingdom shall never be destroyed. It shall stand forever and ever. And we as believers shall dwell there with God Himself and all the other people to know Him as Savior. My prayer is that we look at the signs around us, that we see the indications that we are living in this very specific time. We take advantage of the opportunities that God brings our way, share the simple gospel, how people can know Christ as their Savior. My prayer is that we share that gospel with those around us. what I want to say at this point in time has nothing at all to do. Well, yeah, I guess it does remotely. With salvation, because baptism does not save. But I had a young man come to me a couple of weeks ago and said, I want to be baptized. I said, that's great. I said, we can do that. We'll meet with you first, but we can do that. So we have an opportunity to have a baptismal service here in our church. And since that point in time, I've had other individuals who say that they would like to be baptized. They've never been baptized since they've trusted Christ as their Savior. You are one of those. Get with me, and we will make sure that we set apart enough time to take care of all of that. But we ought to encourage believers in their walk with the Lord. Encourage them in their Bible reading and their Bible study. Encourage them in their service to the church and in the Lord. And yes, even in water baptism, because it's an outward sign of what has taken place inside. I just want to let you know that we will be having a baptismal service, and we still have to work out how we can have a baptismal service without a baptistry. But I'm sure the men of this church can think of something. And so pray for that. Look forward to doing that. Let's look to the Lord and work prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for the revelation that Daniel revealed unto Nebuchadnezzar and is being revealed to us from your word. Father, we ask that you would take this time that we've spent together, complete it in the days, nights, and weeks to come as we walk with you. As we walk circumspectly, looking at the signs of the time in which we live. Father, making use of the opportunities that you give to us to be a witness to those who do not know Christ as their Savior. As we do that, we ask that you'd bless us extra special good. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Amen.